If you would, tonight, please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. This is a passage which, as I said this morning, the Lord just pressed upon my heart, and it's been a delight to look at it in the week gone past. Now, we're going to pick up our reading. Just before I even mention that, Luke 2 concerns Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem because of the taxation plans that were coming into place. And I suppose it's not often we read this passage. I was going to break into it later in the chapter, but it might be good just to commence from verse number 1. So Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great of child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. These are great verses. This is Christ coming into the world. Now, this is a passage of God's word, which is highly significant. This is the moment, men and women, that biblical history has been waiting for, the arrival of Christ. And yet, we can be so familiar with it that when we read it, we're not reading it at all. So I'm going to do something different here tonight. I'm going to ask you to read the following verses with me. Perhaps I can read verse 8, and then you can read verse 9. So let's read alternative verses together. Don't be shy. Get in the first word. And I trust that will encourage you to very much focus upon the words we're reading. I read verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with him a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then lastly, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. And may the Lord bless the public reading of his word this evening. Well, around the world, there are various and many different traditions that people engage in at this time of year. It might be the exchanging of gifts. It might be the bring of a tree inside It might even be dressing up in red. But over in Spain, actually, it's the three wise men who take center stage. They are the ones who go from house to house, delivering, apparently, gifts to children. And if you set your shoe outside, you want to have big feet so you can set big shoes, and hopefully they will fill your shoes or shoe with gifts. Now, of course, we're not told how many wise men there were. We know if there's three, there could have been 33. We have no idea. We're only told of three particular gifts that were given by this company of wise individuals. But tonight, we're looking at the shepherds who were out in the field by night tending to their sheep. These would have been Jewish shepherds. That's very clear from the text. As it's said here in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. These were Jewish shepherds looking after their sheep in Bethlehem. But they are out in the field. That makes it very clear that this was either spring, summer, or early winter. It may have been right into August, September, possibly the tail end of their season may have come to a conclusion about October time at the very, very latest. But these were men out in the warmth to some degree of the field looking after their flocks. And on that occasion, to these particular individuals comes the angelic host to sing. First of all, there is the angel, as it is described here, the angel of the Lord who made this great announcement to them, and then the great song that was sung to them. And we have to ask the question here, why shepherds? If you were going to announce your coming, your arrival, why would you go to a few shepherds out in the field who had very few contacts, very little influence, in the eyes of men, most insignificant? These weren't the kind of individuals that when they stood up and spoke, everybody listened. That wasn't the case. The shepherd in these days would have been individuals who came from poor homes. No education, no particular skill set. All they're able to do is go to a farmer, as it were, and ask to get a regular small wage to go out into the field at night and to keep an eye on a man's sheep. Terrible hours, basic pay. These were not wealthy farmers, but they were poor laborers. But to them, men and women, to them, is given one of the most spectacular displays that this world has ever seen. Think about it for a minute. What did the wise men get? These wise, educated men, and when they spoke, people listened. What did they get? No angel. No heavenly song. They were studying the stars. And whatever way the Lord conveyed to them truth, they saw by the arrangement of the stars that something significant had happened, and they went to Bethlehem to find this child. They found out by looking at the celestial host at a great distance. What about Mary and Joseph? Even Mary and Joseph were not treated to this spectacular scene that the shepherds saw. Mary and Joseph had this angel, the same angel, who came and spoke to them, and then went his way. But to the lowly shepherds, the least of men, gained the greatest demonstration. They saw not only this angel, who clearly was not one of the local shepherds, but by his brightness, by his demeanor, by his strength, by his appearance, he was clearly something that they had never seen before. And then the heavens were filled with an angelic host. And it was nighttime, out in the fields. And they appeared to be the only ones who saw it. What a privilege these men enjoyed. Furthermore, it would have been a great encouragement to Mary and to Joseph, because they would have welcomed, no doubt, these wise men, the Magi, who would have come and worshipped the babe. But then, on the other hand, here's the lowly shepherd men, the nobodies, and they also come to worship the babe as well. So from the most significant and greatest intellects, men of that day, right to the lowliest of men, there were people worshipping their boy. And we're learning something here, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord, from the moment of his birth, was uniting all sorts of men and women. Financial status is irrelevant. Ethnicity is irrelevant, because the Magi were not Jews. Their age, irrelevant. None of that matters. They're all welcome to come, and indeed required to come and bow before this babe who would become the man that is Christ, the Savior of men. Two things I want to leave with you tonight. It is the angel's announcement, and following that, then, the shepherd's response. Firstly, tonight, the angel's announcement. It was abrupt, wasn't it? It was abrupt. Come to verse 9 for a moment here. Picture the scene. These men out at night, keeping watch of their sheep. And remember, there was no artificial lighting. It would have been dark indeed. Perhaps the moon may have been brightly shining. Perhaps the stars above, bathing the earth with some degree of light at least. But by and large, all things were dark. They would have strained with the eye to have seen anything at a distance. And you know how it works. The pupil of the eye at night time enlarges, so that it's able to receive as much light as possible, as much as it can get, so that it can see. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, this angel appears bright and shining. It would have cut into their very eyes. You know what it's like when it's dark. Somebody puts on the light switch and you squint. Well, these men were treated to a demonstration of magnificent light, as these angels, this angel rather, first of all, stood before them. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The language there indicates suddenness. Came upon them. Very often in battle, that's what's described. The enemy came upon them, surprising them by stealth. It's the idea. Go then to verse 13. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. So there was this one angel who came suddenly, and then even more suddenly, you have this whole host that arrived out of nowhere, it appears, singing and praising God. Now I want you to just understand something here. This is very often the way the Lord works, you know. Unexpectedly, suddenly, abruptly. If you're saved tonight, maybe you can concur with that. Maybe that's your testimony. That was my testimony. When I was saved as a little boy, only 5 years of age, when the Lord saved me that evening, late in the evening, I didn't wake up that morning thinking this is the day where I'm going to embrace my father and mother's Savior. I didn't wake up that morning thinking this is the day I'm going to do what my Sunday school teachers and my minister tells me to do. No, that wasn't the case. But abruptly and suddenly, the Lord worked and spoke and convicted and converted me. Sometimes that's often how the Lord works. We pray for that in our land, that there would be an abrupt, sudden moving of God. We may wake up in the morning and expect perhaps nothing, and yet the Lord comes. That's certainly how the second coming will be. When the Lord opens the heavens above, nobody that morning will be getting out of their beds, looking up to the heavens and say, this is the day. Because we're not told when that day is. We're not told. It will come suddenly, abruptly. The angel's announcement was abrupt. The second coming will also be abrupt. But look at these men. They were afraid. They were frightened at the presence of the angels. Look at verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And rightly so. These men had every reason to be absolutely terrified at the appearance of a messenger of God. Not only because it was extraordinary. Not only because of the physical strength and ability of the angel, but they had every right to be afraid because that messenger could well have been bringing and delivering a message of condemnation, a message of judgment, a message that God was calling these men to come and give an account for their sin. They had every right to be afraid. And dear individual, tonight, every time you open the Bible, you have every right to be afraid. Every time you come into the house of God, you have every right to be afraid. That God may speak a message of condemnation to you. That's what you deserve. That's what we all deserve. Listen, these shepherds, they were no exception to the situation of mankind. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a reality. And these shepherds were no exception. And you and I, we are no exception either. Therefore, the Lord could well send an angel with a message of condemnation. But read verse 10. They were afraid. But verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Why? Why should they not fear? We'll read these most beautiful words. For behold, I bring you good tidings, not judgments. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The reason the angel said these men were not to be afraid. The angel said that they were not to be afraid because of God's gracious work for them. You see, the angel didn't say, don't be afraid because you're good men. Don't be afraid, you shepherds, because we know full well that you go to the temple, you offer sacrifices, you offer prayers. The angel didn't say that, but the angel said, note it carefully, there's good tidings and great joy because unto you is born a Savior. That's the good news. The reason these men were not to fear is because of a gracious work of God, not because of their works, not because of their merits, not because of their religiosity. No. Because of what the Lord had graciously accomplished for them. But look at verse 11. Men and women, is this not one of the most precious verses in all of the Bible? We all know John 3:16. Magnificent text. Is this text any less significant? Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let me tell you, men and women, that is something to sing about. That's something to sing about. At this time of year and all year, people will be singing plenty of silly songs about Santa and his reindeers. Well, here is the Son of God, the Redeemer. And here is something, men and women, to genuinely raise the roof with. The Savior has come. The Son of God has come. He has come to redeem. He has come to rescue sinners. He has come with the greatest gift, that of salvation, costing him the greatest price, that of coming to this world and dying, paying for our sin. Look at these, the words of this announcement then, verse 10. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Not bad news, not judgment. It's a great joy. That's what the angel's saying. It's glad tidings of great joy. You see, this was to bring delight to the poor sinner. These men, like everyone else, had a conscience, and they knew they were guilty before God. But this message would bring them great joy. And to any individual who is not saved tonight, there is no greater message that will bring you greater joy. Let me tell you something. The person who could be on their deathbed, sick, desperately unwell, unsaved, on the brink of eternity, and they have been told there is a cure for your disease, they would be thrilled. It would be a great joy for them to hear it. But can I say this? If that same individual, lying on their deathbed, heard that there was a cure for their sin, and that they could face death knowing full well that Christ had paid for their sins, and they can enter into heaven, I tell you, that would be magnificent joy. This man and woman is the greatest news to everyone in every situation, should they choose to believe it. Because look at what the rest of the verse says. It's good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is an announcement for all people. It wasn't just for the shepherds. If it was just for the shepherds, it wouldn't have been recorded in the Word of God. No, this was an announcement for everyone to hear. And so he would encourage you, dear men and women, at this time of year when that is being heralded in whatever means, in whatever ways, whether you agree with it all or not, it's being announced that God sent his Son into the world. And in Bethlehem, a couple of thousand years ago, there was a babe, and the Word of God says that was the Son of God. That is an announcement for everyone to hear. And I'm delighted it is being announced. Let me tell you, God can use the ass to declare his glory. Isn't that right with Balaam and his ass? The Lord can make the stones call out his glory. I'm thankful that it is being announced that the babe born in the manger was indeed Christ. But the message goes on, doesn't it? And it just gets better. Because it goes from the general to the specific. All right, so this announcement is for absolutely everyone. But look at verse number 4. For unto you, the angel goes on, for unto you, dear shepherds, you men, uneducated, and poor, humble farm laborers, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. This was a gift for them. Men and women. And for me tonight, I can put myself in there. For unto me is born the Savior. And for all who call upon Christ, you can put yourself in that verse. Unto you, on that day, or night rather, in that place, to Mary, there was born a Son who came from heaven with the purpose of bearing the punishment for our sins. Now, great announcement. Great message. These men were treated to a most spectacular demonstration of magnificence and glory. No choir has sung like it before then or since then. There has never been a scene like this before this occasion nor after this occasion. This is a most unique situation. And it's well and good, men and women, to hear a magnificent announcement. But how did these men respond? That's the question. You, dear man and woman, can open up the Bible and read the great announcements of Scripture. You can come to church and hear the great announcements of the gospel. But how do you respond? That has to be the question. Well, let's look at the shepherd's response to this announcement. I want you to see, firstly, that it was immediate. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them, from the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now have some rest. And eventually, we'll maybe go and make some inquiries about this situation. No, they said, let us go now. Go even on to Bethlehem now. And see this thing which has come to pass now, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The word now is right in the middle of the text. Everything pivots on the word now. We're now going to go to Bethlehem. We are now going to see what has happened. No delay. It was immediate. Isn't that right? It was immediate. Verse 16. Emphasizes that very truth. And they came with haste. They came with haste. There was no hanging around. Not only did they immediately make the decision to go, they made their journey as quick as possible. No hanging around. And to be honest, that's not very surprising, is it? It's not much of a wonder that these men, with great excitement, would drop everything and run to see this phenomenon. This event of the Son of God, a Savior, was born for them. Remember what's happening here. These are poor laborers on the farm. These are men who were insignificant in the eyes of everybody else. And to them, this angelic host is proclaimed, a Savior is born for them. Of course they would drop everything and make their way as quickly as possible to see this magnificent event. You know, tonight, if you're really interested in salvation, if you're really interested in Christ, if you're really interested in the way home to heaven, you will immediately call upon God. You'll not delay. I don't want anyone tonight, either here in the car park or online, to fool yourselves by continuing to be unsaved. But fooling yourself to think that, you know, deep down in, I do have an interest. Don't fool yourself into thinking that someday you'll just click and that'll be it. You're going to get saved. No, you have a massive problem. A massive problem. Because at your age, saturated in the gospel, you know the great texts. You know the great truths. You know the theology. You know the doctrine. You have the cream of the crop. You have the best of food, spiritually speaking, the best of teachings, the best of books. You have everything you need by way of knowledge, yet you still delay. And why is that? Because you have a problem that you need God to cure. So do not entertain the idea that, yes, you're interested, you're just delaying. No, you have no time for the gospel. You have no time for Christ. Your heart is hard and you're heading to hell. That's the reality. What you need is God to come and to give you a new heart and a change of person. You need rescued. Because to be truthful, you're every bit, and perhaps you're even worse off than the pagan somewhere in a different country who doesn't have a Bible. Because you know the Bible. You have the greatest evidence of divine existence in front of you in the Word of God, yet you decline it and you reject it. Your hell will be worse than others. Now, my friend, tonight, do not play around with this, pretending to be interested. Be honest before God. Be honest tonight. You're not saved because you don't want to be saved. You're not bowing before Christ because you don't want Christ. Just be honest. You need rescued. Quickly here, let's move through these thoughts. The shepherd's response, it was immediate, but furthermore, it was validated. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It was validated. What the angel said was true. And they found it all to be true. There was no exaggeration. The babe was there, where they were told it would be. Now, I think it's most interesting, and maybe it's a message for another day, but just to mention right now, where was the babe born? Lying in a manger, we're told. He wasn't born in a palace. Why? Well, let me tell you something. If the Lord would have been born in a palace, the shepherds wouldn't have got in. The guards would have stopped them. They wouldn't have got in. Furthermore, if the Lord was born in gold or ivory buildings of great wealth and importance, people like the shepherds would have said, oh, well, he's not for us. He belongs to the wealthy, the rich. He's not a savior for the poor because he's too wealthy. No, the savior was born in the stable. And the point is this, even the lowly laborer out in the field, the worker on minimum wage, on the worst possible hours, in the middle of the night, at their desire, could simply get up and go and bow before him. That's our Christ. That's our gospel. Not in ivory palaces here on earth. Not in great buildings. No, he is available to man, whoever you are. Do you know, the only people who wouldn't come into the manger, the people who were too proud, who wouldn't bow down, who would not lower themselves to leave their palaces to go into a dirty old stable. The only thing that prevented anyone coming to this babe's birthbed was pride. That was it. Just pride. And maybe that's your problem tonight. It's just pride. That's what stops you coming and bowing before the Savior. There are many obstacles that stop people coming to Christ. But let me tell you, there's not one obstacle found in Jesus Christ. The Lord puts up no obstacles. The obstacles are there because of you. For example, your pride. It was immediate. The response, what they heard was validated. But furthermore, these men rejoiced. Think of verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That's no surprise, you know. That's how this passage ends. It ends, we leave these men with joy. And they're thrilled. And they're bouncing with excitement. And they go into the world proclaiming and telling this great news, because verse 7 says they made known abroad the saying. They're teaching. They're filled with joy and glory and praise for God. And that's what happens when you're saved. There's glory. There's joy. There's a thrill in your soul. You know, at this time of year, many people go all out in celebrating Christmas. And what happens the next day? Miserable. Bored. Fed up. Why is that? Because truth being told, the vast majority are not celebrating this event. Because if they were, the next day they would be glorifying and praising God. But if you're not celebrating Christ, and if you're not rejoicing in this announcement and the arrival of the Son of God, if you're just celebrating the season and getting into the mood of the lights and the gifts and the tents and all the rest of it, I can 100% guarantee you the day after Christmas, you'll feel flat and empty. Why? Because none of those things bring you joy. How often do people get presents? They open them up. The next day, already, they're fed up with the present. It didn't bring the joy they expected. We were taught about this in our home. It's the same every single year. There is absolute hype and a fixation on the new gift. And that gift is going to be just great and so much fun. But yet every year, the year goes by and Christmas comes. That gift that was received last year is boring. It's lying in the cupboard somewhere. It wore out. Because it wasn't designed to bring everlasting happiness. It's just the reality. And no gift that you get this year will either. Unless you have the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. So tonight in conclusion, like these men, you have perhaps heard and are well acquainted with the announcement of Christ coming into the world. You are well acquainted with what happened at Calvary, and you are well acquainted with the resurrection. And what's your response? What is your response tonight? What has it been? And what will it be now? Will you simply acknowledge this message as a marvelous message? Will you simply say, yes, this is wonderful, it's great, and then continue to live in disobedience to God and continue to turn your back on the invitation to be saved? That's what many nominal Protestants and other religions do. They observe all these details, a wonderful message. And then they continue to live in sin against God. What is your response tonight to the announcement of this book? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Will you tonight embrace the Savior and receive the gift of salvation? Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the great message, this great announcement that was made to mankind, that there indeed is a Savior who has come into the world to save from sin. And Lord, I plead with thee at this time of year, as the announcement is made on many a Christmas card, on many a thing on TV, internet, Lord, like Balaam's ass, Lord, you'll speak through the most unlikely circumstances, and that the world would not only hear the announcement, but they would obey. Lord, thou art God. Thou art sovereign. And we pray that thou wilt bring in the lost. Thank you for Christ, the birth, the babe in the manger, the one who grew up and died for our sins. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.